Let's go to John 3:16, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 4. That's been our launching pad for this series. Why don't you read John 3:16 and 17 with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we need to recite that to ourselves before we open our mouth in judgment of anybody. Okay. Proverbs 4, verse 23, in the Amplified Bible, says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. And that tells me, as much as I love and value Deacon Phyllis, I have to guard my heart more than I guard her. More. And that's hard for me, because you all know how I guard my wife. But I have to guard my heart more than that, because things that pertain to my entire life are going to flow from it. But we need to understand, as I've shared with you before, that scripture is not necessarily talking about this physical muscle in the center of our chest. It's talking about something much, much more important. Say, what's more important than that? Let me read this to you. Your physical heart pumps the blood you need for life through your body. It's the heart that moves the blood to where it gets oxygenated and distributed throughout your body. If something invades your heart, it can hinder or stop the flow of blood through your body, thereby leaving you in a life-threatening position. Medically, that can be referred to as a heart attack. Okay? But I was reading in, you know, when you go to BibleHub.com, in addition to many different Bibles, they have many, many, many different commentaries. And when I'm really serious about finding out something, I look in those commentaries. And I went through one that I never went to before. It was called the Bible Illustrator Commentary. And I found it was an American theologian named Nathaniel Emmons. It took me about 20 minutes to find out who he was, because if I'm going to quote him, I need to know something about him. He said, concerning that verse, the scripture in Proverbs 4, the heart is to be kept from all improper objects. Every object which has no proper connection with your present duty. You need to think about that, okay? There was an Archbishop, John Sharp. All of these folks have gone on to be with the Lord. This is what he wrote. And it's entitled, What Power a Man Hath Over His Own Thoughts. Some men, by the very principles of their make and constitution, are much better able to govern their thoughts than others. Some that are naturally weaker have, by long use of and many trials, obtained a greater power over their thoughts than others. All have a greater power over the motions of their minds at some times than at others. Point number one. The first motions of our minds are very little, if at all, in our power. We cannot help suggestions coming to us. So we can't help thoughts that come into our head. Point two, when a man's mind or a woman's mind is vigorously affected and possessed either with the outward object of sense or the inward passions of any kind, in that case, he has little or no command of his thoughts. See, so when we get into an emotional state, we have no command on our thoughts. We just want to do something. I mean, that's what it is, right? Point three, A man's thoughts are sometimes in a manner forced upon him from the present temper and indisposition of his body. Now listen to this fourth one. We have liberty of thinking and may choose our own thoughts. It is in our power to determine what suggestions we will fix our minds upon. See, so no matter what we hear, we determine what we're going to listen to. We determine what we're meditating on, not a circumstance. We determine everything that has to do with our own thought process. We determine that. Open back up. It's new. It's not used to me yet. Okay. Five. It is always in our power to assent to our thoughts or to deny our consent to them. And here the morality of our thoughts begins. See, we have to decide, am I going to assent to what I'm thinking? Am I going to give my consent to this thought or not? And you are the only person, I mean the only person, who can determine that. See, according to the Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions of heart is sphere of divine influence. And it's your desires, your affections, your emotions, and your thoughts. And that bears out in some other translations of Proverbs 4:23. And I've shared them before. I'm going to share them again. The Contemporary English Bible says, carefully guard your thoughts, because they are the source of true life. The Good News Bible says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. The Expanded Bible says, be careful what you think. Above all that you guard, protect your heart, because your thoughts run your life. Life flows from it. See, thoughts have power. That's why we're told to cast down imaginations and every high thought that presents itself against our knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. One translation says, we fight to capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. Like I always say, I like that one. I like making people cry. Not people, but things cry, Uncle. I used to like that, but not anymore. Okay. The Message Bible says, you fit every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. So that means if it's not what Christ laid out for you, don't think it. I mean, it's really that simple. So we need to keep all improper thoughts, every thought, listen to this now, every thought that has no connection with what our present duty is, what our present responsibility is. Any thought that doesn't line up with that, we need to reject. Because if we don't reject it, it will change our will. And I'm going to show you why. Remember what I told you about a thought? It originates in your brain. After it originates in your brain, if you don't do something about it, it becomes a perception. Whether it's good or bad, it's going to become a perception. And if you don't do something about it when it's perception, it's going to become an emotion. And if you don't do something when it becomes an emotion, you will become emotional and it will change your will. Because now you will be driven by emotion instead of led by the Holy Ghost. Not because the devil has any power, I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. But remember, you know, what one of those guys said, who was it? I don't know if it was Archbishop Sharp or the other one. He said, we have liberty of thinking and we can choose our thoughts. And so if that's so, or since that's so, why do we think toxic thoughts? Well, I've been going through a book by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And I recommend you read her materials. I mean, she's going to tell you, she's got God's given us some revelation about the brain and thoughts and things that's not only spiritually accurate, but scientifically accurate. You need to know exactly what happens because it'll help you know why you're driven sometimes when you shouldn't be. But she said, toxic thoughts are thoughts that trigger negative and anxious emotions, which produce biochemicals that cause body stress. Now, weigh that with this definition of toxic. Harmful or deadly, capable of causing injury or death, especially by chemical means. But negative thoughts release biochemicals that are toxic. It says pertaining to, affected with, or caused by a toxin. So, you know what my question is? Was a toxin? A poison, this is going to upset somebody's theology because it's going to take away one of your excuses. A toxin is a poisonous substance, especially a protein that is produced by living cells, say living cells, or organisms. And it's capable of causing disease when introduced into the body tissue. But it is often also capable of inducting neutralizing antibodies or antitoxins. So a toxin can be put into your body that will neutralize the things in your body to fight it. And when that happens, you're left really helpless and at the mercy of that toxin. Now think about this. A toxin can only be produced by living cells. You know what that means? The devil can't make you have toxic thoughts. He's not a living cell. He can't make you do it. So where does it come from? You. You create them. You say, well, why would I do that? Well, the devil can place, but he can send a thought your way. What you do with it is entirely your business. He introduced a thought into Eve. That's all he did. Did God say, you won't surely die? He can't even say, go ahead, eat the fruit. He said, you won't surely die. Eve took that and thought about it and started weighing it against what she knew. And she starts saying, I won't surely die. This tree looks good. And it's probably tastes good. And not only that, but if I eat it, I'll become super smart. She introduced a toxin into her body. That toxin neutralized her ability to be obedient to God because she was so caught up in, I gotta taste this fruit, that she disregarded everything God said and followed that thought. And Adam did the same thing. Both of them had the power to stop it, but they waited too long. And then all of their defenses, everything that was in your body, everything that would tell your brain no, was overridden by that toxic thought. And we need to understand that the same thing happens to us too many times. And it follows that same pattern. And what's even worse is not that it follows that same pattern, but it becomes the pattern of our thinking. I'm going to show you that before we leave here tonight. Look at James 3, please. While you're turning there, I want you to think about something. If the devil could make you think something you don't want to think, then Jesus lied in Luke 10:19 when he said, I've given you power. And according to the Amplified Bible, he says physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. So since that's true, how can the devil make you do anything? That's right. He can't. So why are we lying on him? We're not influenced by the devil. We're influenced by our thoughts. Yeah, well, the devil, he sends the thought my way. Yes, he does, but what you do with it when it gets there, like the past Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah used to always say, if UPS delivers a package that you didn't order, you don't pick it up and bring it in. You don't have to pick it up and bring it in your house and open it because you didn't order it. You send it back where it came from. And we need to do the same thing with those toxic thoughts when they come. Send it right back. Pastor Clinton said all the time, he said, I would say, Father, that's not my thought. That is not my thought. I rebuke and reject that thought in Jesus' name. And he said he'd do it quickly. Because if you don't, it starts to take roots in your brain. In James 3, in the Amplified Version, starting at verse 8, it says, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Why do we do that? Why do we look at some people and say, God bless you, and look at other people and say, go to hell? Why do we do that? What are we thinking about them? What are we thinking about them that causes us to bless and curse? We need to understand that. You didn't guard your thoughts. That's what happened. You forgot that your thoughts run your life, and you failed to capture that thought and make it obey Christ. You let it become a perception, you got all emotional about it, and you let it change your character. And we have to stop doing that. But listen to this. Mary Lou gave me something last Wednesday that it just blessed me. And I hope it blesses you also. Okay. This is from Joyce Meyer's Power in Being Thankful devotional. She said, if we allow our thoughts about a person to be negative, our attitude and behavior toward that person will also be negative. In order to love people, we must make a decision to think good thoughts about them. God's word teaches us to always believe the best of people. Our love should be sincere. Now listen to this. How many of you have ever, you've prayed and prayed about someone that you knew was a knucklehead? You knew it. Always acted like it. You figured always will, but you have to pray. So you pray for them. And you don't see a change. They were a knucklehead before you prayed, and they're a knucklehead 3 years later after praying. And you're wondering why. I'm about to answer that question. Okay. If we are praying for an individual, but thinking negative thoughts, what he's like, and how he will never change, our prayers will be negated by our negative thinking. We inject a toxin that blocks our prayers from coming into manifestation. Just by our negative thinking about a thing or a person. Or you could say the power for our prayers to manifest was neutralized by the toxins injected by our toxic thoughts. Dr. Leaf, she went on to say, the surprising truth is that every single thought, whether positive or negative, goes through the same cycle when it forms. Thoughts are basically electrical impulses, chemicals, and neurons on a physical level. But when we put together, when put together, something amazing happens. Something science is still attempting to explore and explain adequately. A unique thinking pattern emerges, different from every other person on the planet. This is very powerful because it means we have a distinct thinking signature. You're going to always think along the same lines. That's why the Bible says renew your mind, because it knows the lines on which we should be thinking. And if you ever, and it's okay to answer positively, you ever encounter anybody that no matter what happens, they always have something negative to say?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes, I heard the woo. Well, they've developed that kind of thinking pattern. And it seems like they'll never see anything positive in anything that happens. They can win $10 million and they'll be talking about how much taxes they have to pay on it. They'll be complaining about that. Okay. They'll be thinking about all the people that are going to try and sponge off of them instead of enjoying the blessing that they just received. Why? That's their pattern of thinking. Okay. It's just like fingerprints. But in one way, it's different, because you can't change your fingerprints, but you can change your thought pattern. Now I'm going to ask you to you can laugh. You can hold your head down if you want to. You can fall out. It's all okay. I'm going to ask you if you've ever had these thoughts. Okay? If you don't want to answer, just sit there. That's okay, too. However you want to respond, fine with me. Okay, I'm not going to remember you anyway. Okay. But have you ever said this? I'm not a morning person. Okay. That's a toxic thought. I'm not a morning person. I can't do this. I'm so stressed. Okay. I just can't cope. I know this won't work. I hate school. I hate my job. Okay. I don't have the energy to do this. I know I should care about this now, but it can wait till later. Nothing ever seems to go right for me. I'll start tomorrow. I'm just not good at anything. Toxic. Oh, here's one. I'm at the end of my rope. Mondays are not a good day for me. What about this one? I'm sick of this. Okay. I can't do anything until I have at least one cup of coffee. Okay. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me. My child's going through the terrible twos. My parents don't understand me. Young people have no respect. Those are all toxic thoughts, and they're going to create a change in your attitude and behavior and will. Because you keep thinking it and saying it, and thinking it and saying it, and thinking it and saying it, and you put another spiritual law into operation, you'll have whatsoever you say. And you're wondering why nothing seems to be changing, but it only appears to be getting worse. Or if it's really bad, you say worser. Okay. But see, the good news is that renewing your mind changes all of that. Romans 12:2 in the Contemporary English Version says, don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way you think. Then you'll know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him. But if you don't allow the word to change the way you think, it's impossible for you to do what's good and pleasing to God. It's impossible. Why? Because you'll be driven by your emotions based on a perception that you formed from a thought. It wasn't formed from the truth of God's word. It was formed from a thought that you meditated on. See, I had begun to allow some toxic thoughts to form concerning this particular vendor. And, you know, it's something about my old nature I let slip into this new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't like being threatened. And this person had keys to our property out in Pennsylvania. And they said, well, we're going to hold these keys until you pay these invoices. And I'm like, no, you're not. That's illegal, number one. And number two, we're going to talk about these invoices. Because according to our contract, you're supposed to come on our property 3 times a month. But every time you come on the property and go into our building, it registers with our alarm company and I have the report. And this report shows that you've been coming once a month, every now and then twice a month. And I was feeling some kind of way about it. And as it turned out, they were showing up while a building was still open. So they didn't need to put a code in. The building was open. But that should not have happened because the gate to the property should have been closed. So that means someone left it open. So they just came into the building, did what they were supposed to do, and left. And we had no record of it. We had no record of it. So I'm about to get in a roar with them when really they were doing what they were supposed to do and we were not. And we were not. But I was forming an attitude, right, Marie? I was. Because, no, you are not going to hold the ministry hostage. Not on my watch. I don't care who you are. But fortunately, we let grace and truth prevail. Because we were able to put down those thoughts, as I said earlier, and we had a conversation and just talked about some things. But we really need to understand and be mindful. I know we sometimes joke about it. Sometimes we get upset when people try and correct us with it. But we have to be mindful about those things that we say. Because it's based on what we've been thinking. When you say, I'm not a morning person, you just didn't invent that this morning. That's something you've been thinking probably most of your life. I hate mornings. I'm not good until about 9 o'clock. But you got to report for work at 7. So that means for 2.5 hours. I had an employee once when I was with Philip Morris. And, you know, he thought that he could pull the wool over my eyes like he did with previous managers. And what happens is they would go into stores, fill out a report, displays they put up, any free cigarettes they gave away, you know, all that stuff. And I would take their report and go to the stores that they said they went to and check and make sure that they did what they were supposed to do. Sometimes, and it was, I wasn't being sneaky, it was my job. And sometimes he had to leave his route so I knew where he was going. And I would park about 3 blocks away and watch him go in a store. I'd get the same report he'd have to fill out. And when he left, I'd go into the store. Because surely whatever he did couldn't have been taken down in 5 minutes. And so I would mark down and then I'd meet him and we'd look and the reports didn't match up. And he said to me, he said, okay, so I wasn't at 100%. So what? I said, oh, no, you weren't? No. So what percentage were you? He said, I was only at 60%. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, I'll be right back. I have to make a call. He said, why? I said, I need to call personnel. He said, for what? I said, well, you don't think we're going to pay you 100%, do you? I got to tell him to deduct 40% for this day. You know. No, I couldn't do that, but he didn't know that. You know. But guess what? He had a latitude adjustment. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he gave 100%. There were some folks that were habitually late and always had an excuse. There was traffic. There was an accident. Car broke down. The dog ate my car keys. You know, whatever it was. So I simply said, okay, if you're late one more time, you're suspended for 2 weeks, and if you're late after that, you're terminated. A miracle happened. No more traffic jams. Not one accident. Okay? Dog ate bones instead of his keys. But he got to work on time. Why? Something happened that caused him to change his thoughts about getting to work on time. You know, some people, you know, you could throw things with my shield of faith and knock them down, but some folks feel the same way about getting to church on time. Doesn't matter, you could turn the clock forward or backwards, they come in 40 minutes late, no matter what. You know, we figure at least for half a year you'll be on time. You know, but it's a pattern, it's a thought pattern that you have developed. It's become a habit that you have, and it's toxic. Because you don't know what you're going to miss. As you can see, I don't always wait for the offering. Sometimes I don't even wait for praise and worship to be over. When I'm ready to go, I'm getting up and I'm going. Now, if you have this thing timed, okay, service starts at 10:30, praise and worship is 25 to 30 minutes, then they take about at least 10 minutes or so to do the offering, so I don't have to be there at 10:30. I can come in around 11:10. That should be okay. One time folks came at 11:10, I was halfway through the message. Yes. And I don't do that just to do it. It's just that God said, get up now. And so I get up. I mean, if he'd let me, then sometimes I walk in the sanctuary and I'm ready to go. I just want to walk right out to the podium and just let him empty me. But we have to change our thought processes so that our attitudes will change, so that our lives will change. We are really a victim of our own thoughts. And the sooner we understand that, the better we will be. We can no longer use the devil as an excuse. He has no power to influence your thinking. You do that. Circumstances have no power to influence your thinking. You do that. I asked this question before. How many people in here have ever been mauled by a lion? But if you heard a lion roar in the sanctuary, what's your thoughts going to be? No. Well, if somebody threw a snake in here, there'd be people hanging on to the ceiling tiles. Okay. Even though you've never encountered one, but you've heard. That's the way I was about blood pressure. I read its reputation and was afraid of it. My thoughts were always what it could do to me. And all of a sudden I realized I wasn't afraid like this when I was in the world. And all I had to do was depend on me. Why am I afraid now? When my father said he'd take care of me. Yes. And the minute I stopped being afraid of my blood pressure spiking, it stopped spiking. Mm-hmm. Remember, I used to say, every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes. And every time I was scheduled to minister, what happened? My blood pressure spiked. Why? That was what I was thinking about. And so everything in my body that would keep my blood pressure normal was overridden by my thoughts. It injected a toxin that neutralized my body's ability to have normal blood pressure. I just caught something last week that I stopped saying. because my doctor told me to decrease the amount of medication that I take on Sundays, because I shared with him, I said, Dr. Shiv, every Sunday afternoon, my blood pressure dropped. He said, to what? I said, sometimes it's like 80 over 55. He's like, that's not good. I said, I know, but it happens every... Then I realized that God's anointing on me was keeping my blood pressure where it should be. So adding medicine to that caused it to drop. And I found myself saying, every Sunday morning, that my blood pressure drops. And then I realized, why am I saying that? I said, well, that's a good thing. No, it's not. You don't know how it feels. Okay. So I say, my Father keeps my blood pressure in its normal range. I mean, that's it. I don't talk about being too high. I don't talk about being too low. My thoughts are, it stays the same. Period. And I've stopped releasing those words and having what I say when it's not what I want to say. What? I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4. Well, let's talk about what we should be thinking about. I encourage you to read the love chapter in Corinthians, because you need to think on those things also. And you need to choose to believe the best of everybody and do what God... See, God, the Bible says God looks at our hearts. So why are we looking at people's actions? God judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Why are we judging the actions of the people? Why are we acting like we know their intentions? Yes, there's some folks God's going to tell you, I need you to put a little distance for whatever reason. Put distance. Don't ask God why. Most of the time, he probably won't tell you anyway, because you'll develop some thoughts about it. But if he says put distance, put distance. But he'll never say put distance and tell everybody that that's what you're doing. Okay. Because that'll cause some thoughts, either about the other person, but mostly about you. All right. Philippians 4, Amplified Bible. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue, I need to stop right there. Actually, it says I need to stop after. If there's any virtue and excellence, that's telling us, folks, that no matter what comes, you have to find what's good in it. Because no matter what, there's got to be something that's good. I don't care what that person is doing. Something is good. Even if it's like, they have on nice shoes. Good. Focus on that, okay? But you have to find something that's praiseworthy. You have to. You say, well, what if there is nothing? The fact that they're made in God's image and after his likeness is enough, should be enough for you to be able to give praise. If you can only say, thank you, Lord, you love them so much, Jesus died for them, then that's what you say. But you have to find something in any circumstance that's good. That's why I take the position, praise God for everything. I know people get upset. They say, no, you praise God in everything. I say praise God for everything. And let me tell you why I say that. No matter what happens, if something negative comes, It's an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf. So I'm like, thank you, Father, for this opportunity to let this circumstance know Jesus Christ is Lord. Because if you think anything else, you're going to develop toxic thoughts. And you'll be on that list, why me? I can't take this anymore. No, it's like, thank you, Father. I tell the devil, you keep it up. I used to say, my mommy's going to get you. But not that you keep doing this, and you're going to have to deal with my ministering angels. I won't have to say a word. So there are two ways you can leave, on your own will or like lightning. Okay. I mean, that's the way it is. And keep thinking those thoughts. So it says, if there be any virtue, if there be any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh on and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Everyone say, I will not allow toxic thoughts to remain in my head. I may not be able to stop them from coming, but I have the ability to capture them and make them give up and obey Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, as I said earlier. And I thank you, Father, because you make things simple. Because this really is simple. It's not hard. It's not hard. We have the ability to choose what we're going to think about. And no one can take that ability away from us. I thank you, Lord, that we will allow the Holy Ghost to do his job, to be the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And any thought that's not right, he'll let us know you need to do something about this thought, and we'll be obedient to capture it and make it obey Christ. Thank you, Father, that we love the same people that you love, and that we're no longer going to judge people by what we see. We're going to judge people by what you say about them. And you said in your word that you didn't send Jesus to condemn them, but that through Christ they'll be saved. Well, we are ambassadors for Christ, so it's our responsibility to lead them to Christ, so Christ can do what he came here to do. We thank you, Father, that our thoughts will be your thoughts. That we're going to think, have the same mind that Christ had. And we're going to let those thoughts rule. But never again, Lord, will we allow negative thoughts to run rampant in our brain. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.